Ephesians chapter 1, 22 says this, "And God placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be head over everything for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything in his way." And that's very obvious. People know this here, that Christ is the head of the church, and we're talking about all true believers. All those that are truly born again, Christ is truly the head of all that. Now, what's very interesting about this verse in 23 is, we are his body, okay, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way. Now, I think if you pray on this a little bit, you'll find out that you don't go to the church, we are the church, okay? And what I reason I'm talking about today, the point I want to get across to today is, we are the church of Christ, and we have a responsibility and a job to do to make him manifest in us. Now, the point is that God's given each one of us a gift to use. We're going to talk a lot about that today. But what we're supposed to do is reflect Christ because we're his body. And like I said, we don't go to church. We are the church. Now, let's go over to verse 2, chapter 2, and verse 19 of that same book, Ephesians chapter 2. Now, the second point here says 19, "Consequently, you are no longer foreigners and aliens, but fellow citizens with God's people, members of God's household." So first of all, we're what? Fellow citizens of being the children of God. So we're fellow citizens, we're actually brothers and sisters in Christ, okay? And so we're no longer foreign to God, we're part of God's family. Now 20 says this, "We're built on the foundations of the apostles and prophets with Jesus Christ himself as a cornerstone." So we have to remember always that no matter what we do, we basically go to the Lord, Jesus Christ, who is our leader, you know, for direction. Now that's why we need to be in the Word constantly, because God himself is a cornerstone of our faith, Jesus Christ is, and we are to get all of our direction from the final authority in our life, which is his Word, okay? Now what's this important is in verse 21 hint is this, "In him, the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord." So Jesus Christ is the cornerstone, but we, remember this, we are the holy temple of God. That's what it says in verse 21. "In him, the whole building is joined together." So we are unity. We are unified, okay? He's talking about the true church. So in our body, we are unified as one under Christ. We have to remember that. There is no division in the true church, okay? Now, also, there's a very important says, "And we rise to become a holy temple in the Lord." Now, what that does is that gives a responsibility to us is to what? Live holy, be holy, for he is holy, okay? And Jesus Christ, who lives in us, right, expects us to be holy and reflect Jesus Christ. So what we do in our lives should reflect Jesus Christ, and that's the whole point. And unity of the church and what the church is a group of believers, okay, that have been born again, their leader is Jesus Christ, and they are to reflect the holiness of Jesus Christ by the way they live. Okay, so that's what the body is. So when we go and we go to pick a new pastor, the key thing that we need to be, as I said last week, is unified. But we also want a pastor, a leader that's holy and is going to be a shepherd over us to direct us in living the way the Bible wants us to. Now, there's no question. Everybody goes, well, what's will for me for God? Well, everybody has a job for God, and we're going to talk about that, and God will make that manifest to you. Let's go over to 1 Peter chapter 5. So we're a holy temple in God, okay? The Holy Spirit dwells in us, okay? So we do have a responsibility. Now, when we're looking for a pastor, the Bible's very clear about what a pastor should be. We look at 1 Peter chapter 5. Now there's a thing, question of men and women pastors. And I'll just tell you the reason, the one thing I do like about the Nazarenes always had women pastors. They basically John Wesley, what he would do is he would go preaching all the time. So he'd go away preaching, and what happened is his wife would teach his children the word on Sunday because he wasn't there. And what happened was some neighbors started coming in, people started coming, and she turned out to preach to them. And it became clear to John that women were called to the preach, to the pastorship. That's the status of the Nazarene church. That's why the Nazarene church calls both men and women. Okay? But the one thing about pastors, this and given 1 Peter chapter 5, is first of all, it says to the elders among you. What he means there, an elder is somebody that's mature in the faith. Okay? That's not about age. It's about somebody that's mature in the faith. They have to be able to handle the word God correctly, which we'll talk about, but they also have to be mature in the faith because when trouble comes, they stand firm in the Lord Jesus Christ. So an elder or a bishop is generally thought of as a pastor of a church. He says, I appeal as a fellow elder, right, this is Peter, a witness of Christ's sufferings, and one also will share in the glory to reveal. Now here's very clear that we have to watch for when we are choosing a pastor. It says, be shepherds of God's flock that is under your care, serving as overseers, not because you must, right? But because you are willing, as God wants you to be, not greedy for money, but eager to serve. So really, a pastor is somebody that has a passion, a fervent passion to serve in a church because he's serving God. He has no other reason. He says it's not for money, it's not for greed, it's not for lording themselves over people. It's because he wants to serve God. He has a passion to serve God. He's called for God. His heart is basically focused on serving God. And so that's what we look for when we see these people, when they candidate here. Is this person going to be the pastor that we want for our church? And you'll know people's heart just by the way they talk, okay? You'll know people's heart by the way they talk to you or the way they preach to you. But that's one of the critical things. Now, it's very clear. This pastor cannot have the wrong purpose for being pastors. So there's no such thing as lording themselves over the church, whatever. The pastor has the right heart. That's what's critical here, okay? And he wants to serve, right? And he's not going to do it for money. Okay, now verse 3, it says this. Not lording it over those entrusted you, but being examples to the flock. Okay, a pastor who basically is a control freak is not the pastor you want for your church. Because you don't want a pastor to lord himself over the flock. That's not what they're there for. Who's the head of the church? Jesus Christ. So a pastor will be one that's given his heart to the Lord Jesus Christ, and you'll see the kindness, the heart, that a pure heart that God calls for from the Christian, okay? So it's very simple. A control freak is not a type of pastor. I've been under pastors like that in Burlington, and it sort of works, but you can just know that that's not necessarily the right heart that you want. So a pastor would be an example to you, say, look, I want to live like they do. They're living like we should, okay? A pastor's one to guide us, okay? The pastor's the elder when you're having issues you may talk to, okay? A pastor's one that has some time knowing spiritually what the church should be doing, okay? A pastor's one that actually selects people, say, hey, look, maybe you want to serve here or there. Okay, I've been under pastors knock me on the or hit me on the shoulder and say, Doug, I think you should be doing this. And I said, that's fine. Whatever you want me to do, I'll do. I've always been one to me, if there was something that I was asked to do, I would do it. And I was hoping that the pastor had prayed about it and basically it was from the Lord. And so the point is that the pastor will be an example in verse 3, right? Would be an example to the flock. He's not one that's a control freak, right? But he's one that will have the heart that you see Jesus Christ did. Now, when you got people up here, this candidate, if you don't see Jesus Christ in their heart, then you'll know, hey, maybe this is not the person for us. Verse 4, it says this, and when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that will never fade away. So a pastor is going to receive rewards in heaven if he does what God wants him to do, or her. Okay? The point is this. So a pastor, if he executes according to his or her job that God has assigned him to, there will be rewards in heaven. So a pastor is one with a tender heart, one that's caring. Remember we talked about agape love? A pastor has to care about people. They've got to be concerned. Now, I understand this thing of a shepherd because we actually had a sheep farm back in Newark Valley, New York. We had 30 sheep. And everything the Bible says about a shepherd is really exciting because it's so true. And I'll just give you a good example. Like every night I'd go out and essentially in the summer, we let the sheep out in the pasture and I'd bring them in at night. And if there was one sheep or lamb that wasn't there, guess what I'd do? I'd go looking for them. That's exactly what a shepherd does. He talks about that in the Bible. He says he'll leave the flock and look for that one that's lost. Because I know what happened if there was a sick lamb or whatever, we'd lose a sheep. By the time you got there, many times there'd just be bones because there'd be predators out to eat these sheep. Okay, so there's wolves out there. And so a pastor cares about their people, and when there's one hurting, the pastor will go looking for that and take care of that situation and work with that person and pray to God for the will of God's will in that life. But the point is that's what a shepherd does. He worries about the flock. And the reason that we choose one with the right heart is you want one that has true agape love, okay? That truly cares for the sheep. I used to go down into the barn, and my wife, we used to have these intercoms because when the sheep would lamb, we want to hear that we should lamb. Because what would happen is, no matter what time of night, I would get my clothes on and go down and be with that sheep as she was having a lamb. Now, I wouldn't necessarily have to do anything. Sometimes you'd have to assist. But I would go down at night, and my wife used to make a joke about this, and I would sit there in a bale hay after I fed all the sheep, and I'd watch them eat. And my wife goes, "What are you doing?" And I said, "I'm watching the sheep eat." And she goes, "Well, why do you do that?" And I said, "I just love to watch them, you know, eat, and I would just watch over them." And then I would check them, right? If some would start to have mastitis, you would take care of it. Were some of the lambs not eating? That type of thing. So I would sit there on a bale of hay, and I'd watch the sheep eat. And she acted, it was a joke she told over the years. She goes, "What are you doing?" I said, "I'm watching the sheep eat." And it's what you do is you just pay attention to what's going on in the church. If there's some issues, you can pick them up. And that's what I was doing. But I also enjoyed watching the animals eat and just being with them. And I would just sit there in a bale of hay. And I'd just do it like an hour. And she'd say, "When are you coming back?" I said, "I'll be there in time." But that's what a shepherd does. See, a shepherd just watches over. Now, the mistake that we get into, and it's what we're going to talk about the rest of the day, is the mistake that we get into is the pastor's supposed to do everything. That's a mistake. Okay? Now, I did not plan this. Now, when she gave the, announcements today, she said, "By the way, we have these jobs to fill." And that's what I'm going to talk about, and we did not plan this. So this must be from the Lord, because I didn't know what was going to be on the announcements today. In fact, I don't even get one over there, so it was actually a big surprise to me. People tried to get them, and I said, "No, I'd rather just wing it." But the point is that we are going to talk about is a church is not a place where a pastor does all the work. That's not what a church is. That's why I started out, if you notice, is there's we are the church. We don't go to church, okay? Now, the pastor is, again, it's someone just going to pay attention to the flock and minister to it. Now, if we go to 2 Timothy chapter 3, one of the key points of a pastor is to what? Is to preach. Now, the reason I brought this in, the pastoral epistles are known as 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy, and Titus. And what Paul is telling pastors such as Timothy, remember, we're at the end of the apostolic age, you know, and these apostles, they started these churches, and they started calling pastors, okay? Pastors started coming and taking over and preaching to the flock. So the pastoral epistles are called 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy, and Titus. Now, if we look at 2 Timothy chapter 3, okay, verse 14, it says this. It says, but as for you, continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of, because you know that those whom we have learned it. 15, and how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures. See, Timothy was taught by his grandmother, okay, the Holy Scriptures, okay? I think her name was Eunice. But which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. 60. All Scripture is God-breathed and useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Well, that applies to everybody, of course, in the church, but certainly the shepherd of the flock. Is the shepherd preaching the Word of God? Okay? And the reason, does the shepherd know the Word of God? And you might ask, well, Doug, why are you even talking about this is actually given? Well, it's not. I actually went to a church years ago. There was a new pastor. He did not know the Scriptures. He would teach. I always laugh because I'd say he'd teach out of books. I can't think of it now. Commentaries. Jeez. Bad with the words, say. Anyways, I called him a commentary preacher because he didn't know the Scriptures. What he'd do is take commentary and preach from them. That's not what an elder is. An elder knows the Scriptures, knows how to apply them, teaches them to us, right? And basically does that so God can convict us and will tell us what he wants from us. So the reason a pastor should know the Scriptures, it says, because all Scripture is God-breathed and used for what? Teaching, rebuking, okay, correcting, and training in righteousness. So a pastor, you want to stand up here and preach from the Word of God because that's how God speaks to us, okay? So the pastor is the shepherd. They're training you. They're preaching each week. And what's happening is that preaching should convict your hearts. I can assure you, as a preacher stands up and preaches to the Word, not everybody will be touched, but there'll be people that hear that word and will be convicted about that word. Okay? And they'll take action. Okay? And so that's what we expect from the pastor. So we, the church, we're built up on the cornerstone of Jesus Christ. We are called together. We are what? The holy temple of God. So we are the church. The pastor's a shepherd, but we have a responsibility ourselves. Okay? So what we want the pastor to do is pay attention to the flock, study the word, bring us preaching every week, but we actually run the church and do all the work that's got to be done in the church. And like I said, I did not plan this. The announcements just came with it. So let's go over to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Verse 13 says this. For we, start with 12. The body is a unit, though it's made up of many parts, and though all parts are many, they form one body. So that means that we're all different parts of the body, but we form one body. That's where the unification comes from. 13, for we were all baptized by one Spirit in the body, whether Jews or Greeks, slave or free, and we're all given one Spirit to drink. Now the point is, God is not respect of any person. God doesn't have favorites. So there is no cliques with God. Okay? Everybody's equal. And with God, God gives everybody a job within the church. And so one thing that a lot of times churches get in trouble is they make the pastor do all the work. That's not the way a church runs. Okay? That's why we have Sunday school teachers, we have people doing music, we have people that mow the lawn, we have people that fix the furnace, we have people that greet, we have people that make coffee. All those jobs are important, okay? So if everybody here, whether you know or not, you need to do a job in the church that God has called you to for the church to function properly. Verse 14, now the body is not made of one part, but of many. Okay, 15, if the foot should say, because I am a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason cease to be part of the body. So the point is, you cannot say that you're not part of this local body. Okay, We are joined by Jesus Christ into one. We're unified to one. We are the church. We're the spiritual temple of God because God dwells in us, okay? And you cannot cut yourself off from the rest of the body. That's why when I preach on unification, you are very important to the rest of the body. Everyone here is. And if you think you're not, you're wrong. If you think that you don't have an important part in this church, you're wrong. And why? Because the Bible tells us so. And so if we go on verse 15, the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body. It would not for that reason cease to be part of the body. 16, and if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body. It would not be for that reason to cease to be part of the body. 17, if the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But see, the point is that if everyone did the same job, it wouldn't be the church. Everybody has a different job. And it doesn't mean that one job is more romantic than another job. Every job is important within the church. Okay? And running the computer back there may be just as important as any other job in the church. Just because I get over and play the piano, then that job is not important than any other job in the church. Every job in the church is just as important. And secondly, you cannot cut yourself off from the unification of this body. You are one in this body. So in other words, you can't get angry over something, or you cannot get, you dislike something going on in the church, say, look, I'm going to separate myself from these people. You can't. And the reason you can is because God has called us to be one. Now, you may decide to do that, but that's not what God wants for us. You want to know what God's will for you? Participate in this body and participate in the work of this body. Okay? Now, if we go to verse 18, and this is what's very key. But in fact, God, catch this. But in fact, God has arranged the parts in the body, every one of them, just as He wanted them to be. This is what is so important that we must remember. We are doing the will of God when we serve in the church. And by the way, everybody sitting here today is here because God has brought you here. It's very simple. God has brought you here for a reason. On the same token, we may not have people here because God has taken them someplace else. But the point is that God has brought you here and He has a job for you within His body. Why? So He can be glorified. So people can be edified. So people can grow in grace. They can grow in the Word. They can grow according to the Scriptures. But everybody here has a job in the body, and God has brought you here and given you that job. So one thing that you can do is when asked, and I always do this, when somebody wants to ask me to do something, I'm always available to do it because it's from God. It's that simple. And what you do is to serve God, you make yourself available. Now, if you have a certain gift and you want to fill something in the body, just as Gwen brought up today in the announcements, hey, there's these jobs open. If you feel that you can do that, I'm going to do that job. Okay? You have to make yourself available to do these jobs because God has called you to do them. And by the way, they always say 10 or 20% of the people do all the work in the church. Guess what? That's true, but it's wrong. Okay? It's true, but it's wrong. And that's not the way God designed the body. And God didn't call 10 or 20% of the people to do all the work in the church. God called 100% of the people to do the work in the church. And only when we do that can God do the work that He wants in this church. So every person here, if you're not doing something in the church, you're not doing the will of God. It's that simple. Everybody says, well, I want to know what the will of God is for me. Participate in the body. That's what your job is. Okay? And there's no running away from it. In verse 18, but in fact, God has arranged the parts. So in other words, whatever job God that you do is God has made it that way. Okay? And He puts you here. Right? And it says, just as he wanted them to be. This is what God wants for us. 19, if they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. So the point is, everybody has to do their job, okay, so we can be the unified body of Christ doing the work that God wants us to do. It's very simple. It's very simple. So the point is, when Gwen brought up, said, we have some jobs that are open, we need you guys to step up and say, yep, I'll do those. And if God's telling you and tugging your heart right now, I'm glad. Because he's telling you that you should be doing those jobs. Okay? And that's, remember these verses? That's the way God wanted it to be. It's not from me, it's from God. It's from God. You can't run away from God. We can try to turn our heads. We may choose not to do things that God wants us to do. But the point is, you can't run from God. There's no question. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. Verse 11. We'll start at 9. It says, what does he ascended mean except that he also descended to the lower earthly region? 10. He who descended is the very one who ascended higher than all the heavens in order to fill the whole universe. He's talking about Jesus Christ when he ascended to heaven. 11. It was he who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, some to be pastors and teachers. Why? Why does everybody here have a job? To prepare God's people for works of service so that the body of Christ may what? Be built up. See, as we go and we exercise our jobs in the body, what God will do is he'll add numbers to us. Why? Because we are working like the true body of Christ should. Okay? So when we get a pastor up here that's preaching the word, people be convicted. We have Sunday school teachers that are teaching us the word. We are basically praising God during the service. Okay? People are exercising their gifts. They're actually, your job may be just to show mercy to somebody. Your job may be to put your hand out and call somebody during the week and say, look, I'm praying for you. Your job may be a prayer warrior. It's that simple. I don't know what that is. But there's simple things. Good example, I got a guy that came to me and he sat right next to my office, okay? And this turned out this man had been married 30-some years and his wife was like 60-some years old and she decides that she was in love with a 29-year-old man. Now, this is a little devastating to him and he was broken. He came talking to me and I gave him a Bible, told him about Christ and he said, well, I'm Christian. I said, you are. I said, where do you go to church? Well, I don't go to church. So Steve and I, we talk about once a week, hey, Steve, you going to church this week? Okay, but the point is what I did to him, I showed him verses about times and seasons. I showed him, hey, maybe this time it's over. You need to get over it. Okay, the point is, what do? You focus on God. Who can heal your heart? The Lord Jesus Christ. Have you taken this to God? No, I haven't, Doug. So he kept talking about it. He kept talking about it. But as time, as we ministered together, he's getting through this thing. Okay? And the point is, I didn't bring this guy here. He just sat by me. So I'm saying, you don't know what God will bring your way. But the question is, are you going to do something about it? Okay? And so, that's the whole point. If there's something open for you to do, will you do something about it? And by saying no, that's not what God's will for us is. And let me tell you another thing. Is that this church and what our ministry is the most important thing in everybody's lives here. The work of the church is the most important thing in your life. It's more important than your job or anything else. Our unity, our love for each other, the work we do for each other, the caring we have for each other, that's the most important thing there is in your life. Okay? It's not your job. It is not your job. It's not your car. It's not your money. What's important thing to you is the body of Christ and doing the work of the Lord in your life. That's the most important thing. And how do we get the direction from that? We're on our knees in prayer. We're in the Word, okay? and we're basically looking for God. Say, God, use me. What do you want me to do? And I've never turned down things like this. People, hey, Doug, will you preach for you? Yeah, I'll do that, no problem. Why? Because I assume it's from God. And the point is, just making yourself available to do things will make the church work like it should. The body cannot grow and do the work that God has really set ahead for us without everybody doing their own work. Okay? The body cannot do that. We should be growing and start filling these if people are telling people about Jesus Christ. Okay? As the word gets around. Hey, look, the New Paltz Nazarene Church, you're preaching the word of God. Why don't you come on over? Why don't you come on over? Then people walk in the door. What you do is people minister to them. They talk to them. Okay? Next you know, say, hey, I like that church. They're nice people. So there's a lot of things to do within the body. Okay? And you just have to get on your knees and say, God, what do you want me to do? Okay, Gwen already laid out some of the issues we need, but the key question to each person today is, what's God want you to do within the body? So we're just going to finish up here. And so we're in Ephesians chapter 4, okay, in verse 12. And so Christ gave all these gifts, why? To prepare God's people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up. Where? Until we reach unity in faith in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure and the fullness of Christ. So why is this done? Because the body becomes edified, people grow in Christ, and they become mature. Mature Christians, what do? They go out and make new Christians, right? God uses them to make new Christians, and they teach them the word, and what happens? They grow up, and the body keeps growing. That's why they call it a body. It's a living thing. God is alive. Jesus Christ is alive. He's alive in our life today. He's always been there. And the point is, he expects us to show the world who he is. And how you do that is through the love of Jesus in your heart. It's very simple. You just go out and care for people. It's that simple. And they will see it. But the point is, we have a responsibility to work for the people in the body. Why? Until we all reach unity in faith in the knowledge of Son of God and become mature. So our job is to make mature Christians. And our job is to be unified. Our job is to love one another. Our job is to make sure the church is functioning properly. I'll be quite frank, when we pull in on Sunday morning, we're usually the first ones here, it's a little disheartening because there's nothing going on here. The place looks dead, you know? And the point is, we turn on the lights, things get going. Next you know, a couple hours later, everybody's here and things are going. But the point is that, you know, there's a million things to do here. And we can only be a functional body if we do what God has called us to do. And that's every person has to serve. It's that simple. Let's close in prayer. Father, I thank you for this time, Lord. And I pray that people here respond to your call, Lord, to serve within our body, Lord. We thank you that you saved us and made us children, your children, Father. We thank you for Jesus Christ. We thank you that Jesus Christ has given us the ability to call you Father and to basically commune with you, Father. Lord, I pray today that if there's somebody here that you have a job for that's not doing it, Lord, that you open their hearts and you basically convict them that they need to do whatever you have for them, Lord. I pray for our body, Father. I pray for our church that we basically follow your guidance in selecting a pastor. Lord, I pray that we grow in grace here and we help each other to mature in the faith, Father. I pray that we help with the young folks grow as well, Lord, and bring new people in, Father. I thank you for this time. In the name of Jesus we pray, amen. So that's it. We're not going to close in a song, and have a great week. Thank you.